Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Erev and Daf Ches. We are holding on Daf Ches Amar Aleph. We're holding at the very top of the page on Daf Ches Amar Aleph. Today's shir is sponsored by Avrami Rosenbaum for Refuah Shleima, for a transplant donor and recipient who are undergoing the procedure today. Is it a kidney? The kidney, I assume? Right, what else? Right? The recipient, Shame Chaim ben Dvorah Hena, and the donor, Simcha Bunim ben Dvorah Hena, and in addition for Shlema, for Dvorah Hena Bas Yocheved, everything should go well, and they should all have a Refuah Shlema Bekarov. It's also sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by Li'li Nishmas Mayor Yosef ben Avram, all of his Shalom by his children and grandchildren. It's also sponsored by Henry Orlinsky in memory of his father, Menachem Yitzchak ben Yaakov Yisrael, Zichron Levrach, his Yartzeit is Wednesday. It's also sponsored by Rabbi Meir Bruckheimer in appreciation of the Dav Yomi Shirim and in honor of his grandson's Nafi Lieber's wedding to Tamar Gartenberg and their week of Shavu Brachos. And it's sponsored by Rosie and Mark Friedman, Le'ilu Nishmas, Rosie's father, Mr. Eugene Gluck, Yehuda ben Yoshua, whose first yahrzeit is today. The Neshama Shavu Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding at the very top of Daf Chesam and Aleph, and there is a lot to discuss on today's Daf. So first of all, the Gemara is going to discuss the machlokas that we had yesterday, where you have a mavli that opens up into a rochava, which in turn opens up into a rosh hasharabim. So the Gemara initially thought that there's a machlokas whether there's an eruv between the mavli and the chatzar, or whether there's not an eruv between the mavli and the chatzar. We're going to explain the nukudas of machlokas within that hava amina in each case. Then the Gemara is going to talk about a mavli that opens up into the middle of a rochava, that it might be considered sasum if it doesn't open up into the end of a rechava, but into the middle of a rechava. But there may be a distinction whether the rechava is owned by an individual or a rechava that's owned by a group of people. Then the Gemara is going to tell two stories about Tukin Mavuos in the town of Sura, and then with the Gemara still on Amar Aleph, is going to have three possibilities of what Rav is being mechadesh when Rav allows carrying in a chatzer that opens up on one end into a mavoi and on the other end into a rosh hasharabim. Rabin through halachic psachim. Why is it that Rav has to tell us that you're allowed to carry in such a chatzer? It seems that there's a Mishnah that says that way. So Gemara is going to have three mahalchim. Then on Amud Beis, Gemara is going to have a machlokas, how to be misakin a mavoi that has many different branches. It's like a centipede with many different branches, that each branch, each alleyway, opens up into a rosh hasharabim. Then the Gemara is going to talk about how to place a korah when the ends of the mavoi are uneven. Normally a korah just goes end to end, but what if one wall juts out more than the other? Can you put a korah on an angle? So that's going to be a next discussion on Beis, and then the final discussion on Beis is going to be three explanations of the machlokas, whether the area directly under the korah can be used, whether you're allowed to carry in the area directly underneath the korah. So let's begin again on the top of Daf Ches Amar Aleph. So says, forgetting what we concluded yesterday, but based on what we originally understood, that Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba in the name of Rav asked a mavoi that's nifrats to a chatzar, and that chatzar in turn is nifrats to rosh hasharabim, and we said that the machlokas is going to apply whether they were made an eruv between the bnei chatzar and the bnei mavoi, or whether they didn't, and they asked it as a mavoi mefulash, but not because of the lack of an eruv. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says that applies, that in the case the mavi is only going to be aser until they make an eruv with the bnei chatzer, but it's not a mavi mefulush. But if the chatzer is nifritza kenegdo, even if the chatzer is nifritza kenegdo, so that and that we said had to be like Shmuel. So bein sheirvu bein shlo irvu pligi be irvu b'may pligi be shlo irvu b'may pligi. We said that they're arguing whether they made an eruv or whether they didn't make an eruv. So in the case where they made an eruv between the bnei chatzer and the bnei mavi, so then what's the machlokas about whether it's considered a mavoi mefulish or a mavoi sasum, just because on the other end of the chatzer it opens up into rosh hasharabim? And in the case where they did not make an eruv, what's the machlokas whether you need an eruv between the mavoi and the chatzer itself just to be allowed to carry in the mavoi? Two basic rules that need to be understood in order to understand the answers over here as to what exactly the machlokas is going to be is that every rosh hayachid that has a pirtza in one of its walls, that pirtza is going to make an usher Isser to carry in that Rosh Hashanah Yachid unless you have two conditions that Pirtza meets. Number one, it has to be less than 10 Amos. The entirety of the Pirtza needs to be less than 10 Amos. And number two, the Pirtza can't be Bimiluo. It can't be on the entire length of that side of the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. You have to have a little bit of wall on each side of that Pirtza. So once you have a little wall on each side of that Pirtza and the Pirtza is less than 10 Amos, then it's considered a Pesach. It's not considered a Pirtza. It's just a doorway. It's an opening. And therefore, it's considered to be walled on that side. So sometimes, though, it's not so clear whether we consider it entirely open. Because sometimes you have a narrower Rishus that borders on a wider Rishus. Like you'll have a narrow alleyway that borders on a Chatzar that's very wide. So if you're standing in the Chatzar, even though the area between the alleyway and the Chatzar is totally open, but if you're standing in the Chatzar still has walls that go up until the alleyway. But if you're standing in the alleyway, it's entirely open. So that's going to be part of the discussion. Is that considered to be, does that meet the qualifications that we just laid out of a Pesach? Or do we say, no, it's Nifratz Bimiluo, and it's not a Pesach? So says the Gemara, Bishalo Irvu Pligi B'nir Mibachutz V'Shavim Mibifnim. In a case where there's no Eruv between the B'nai Chatzar and the B'nai Mavui, that's exactly the Machlokas. When you have a Mechitza that can be seen from one side, but cannot be seen from the other side, because it's a narrower area that borders on a wider area, is that considered like a Pesach, or is that considered just like an open Pirtza? So that's what Rav and Shmuel disagree about, when you have a Mavoi that opens up into a Chatzar, because if you're standing in the Mavoi, you don't see any wall. You just see wide open directly into the Chatzar. But if you're standing in the Chatzar, you'll be able to see that there are walls on either side of the Pesach to the Mavoi, because the Chatzar is wider than the Mavoi. So according to Shmuel, even though by the Chatzar we treat the Pirtza like a Pesach, since there's extra wall on each side, but as far as the Mavoi is concerned, it's not considered a Pesach, because the wall is not visible from the side of the Mavoi, so therefore the Mavoi is Parutz B'miluo to the Chatzar, and those who live in the Chatzar, Asur on the B'nai Mavoi. But according to Rav, since if you're standing from the Chatzar perspective, you would see wall, that wall helps even Legabe the Mavoi, and therefore it's considered like an entranceway and not a Pirtza, and therefore the B'nai Mavoi do not need an Eruv with the B'nai Chatzar in order to carry. So that's the machlokas if they didn't make an Eruv. If you have a Mavoi bordering on a Chatzar, which in turn borders on a Rosh Hashanah Rabim, and there's no Eruv between the Mavoi and the Chatzar, just internally between the Mavoi and the Chatzar themselves, do they aser on each other? That depends on how you view a situation where from the Mavoi's perspective it's totally open, and from the Chatzar's perspective there's wall on either side. What about if they did make an Eruv and the whole issue is about the Rosh Hashanah Rabim on the other side of the Chatzar? You have a Mavi that opens up into this Chatzar, and then the Chatzar opens up into a Rosh Hashanah Rabim. So we said it's a machlokas whether that's considered a mefulash or sasum. So what's that machlokas about? So be'irvu kamiflugi b'drav Yosef. When they made an Eruv, the machlokas is, meaning, and the whole issue is whether it's a Mavi sasum or Mavi mefulash, they argue about what Rav Yosef said. Da'am Rav Yosef, lo shanuela shakala le'emtza rechava. That when Rav Yudah says that a Mavi that opens into a rechava, which in turn opens into a Rishus HaRabim, that you don't need a tikkun at the end of that Mavoi, that's only Shekala Le'emtza Rechava. That's only when the Mavoi opens up right into the middle of the Rechava, that the Pirtza between the Mavoi and the Rechava is right in the middle of the Rechava, and on the two sides of that Pirtza, it gets wider, meaning when you go out into the Rechava itself is wider. So it's very clear that the Mavoi doesn't just go straight to the Rishus HaRabim, because if you were to try to walk from the Mavoi to the Rosh Hashanah, you'd enter the Rechava and then you'd see it widens out and you're no longer in a Mavoi. So in such a case, that's where Rav Yehuda would say that you don't need a tikkun at that end, that it's considered to be sasum. Aval kala l'tzide Rechava. Asur, but if when you go into the Mavoi, there's on one side of the Mavoi, it's straight wall that leads you straight out into the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, meaning the Rechava that you walk through, at least on one side, is no wider than the Mavoi itself, then we're a little more concerned. Then you're going to think that it's all one long Mavoi, and that's where we're going to say it's like a Mavoi Mefulash, open into Rosh Hashanah Rabim. So that's the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Shmuel still holds like Rav Yosef says, that when the Mavoy goes into the empty Rechava, it's not like a Mavoy Mufulush, whereas Rav holds, even when it goes into the empty Rechava, since someone who's standing in the Mavoy sees the Rishus HaRabim, and Rabim are boken me Rishus HaRabim from one Rishus HaRabim to the other through the Mavoy and the Rechava, people can walk right through, so it still would have a din of Mufulush, even when it goes into the Yemtza. So that's how we explain the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel based on the Hava Amina of yesterday's Gemara. Remember, the Maskana of the Gemara was that there's not really a Machlokas here between Rav and Shmuel. Everything was Rav's Shita. And a Mavi that goes into the Yemtza Rechava is not considered to be Mufulush. Nir Bimachutz Vashav Mivifnim is not Nidon Mishum Lachi. But nevertheless, we still explain it even according to the Hava Amina of the Gemara yesterday. That's what Rav Chaim Velazhner writes that in Ruach Chaim and Pirkei Avos, that when the Gemara says "Valo lo yibol," that afil sichas chulin shel tamid chacham tzrichel limud. So what does it mean? Tamid chacham don't speak sichas chulin; they always speak in learning. So he says, "No, afil sichas chulin shel tamid chacham tzrichel limud means even a hava mina needs explanation. Sometimes a hava mina, you think, okay, we reject it anyway, so the hava mina didn't have to make any sense. But no, we work on understanding the hava minas of the Gemara as well. Okay, so weiter in the Gemara now. So now the Gemara is going to discuss a mavoi that's kala l'rechava that goes open into rechava. And we're going to limit the heter a little bit. So Amar Rabba, Hada Amrit, that which Rav Yehuda said, the way Rav Yosef explained him at least, that le'emtsa rechava mutter, that when the mavoi opens up right into the middle of a rechava, so it widens as soon as you walk out into the rechava, that that's going to be mutter, because it's not going to be a mavoi mefulash, because no one's going to think that that's just one long mavoi that goes into the Rosh Hasharabim, la'amaran ela ze shalo keneged ze. That's only if the opening from the mavoi to the chatzer does not go is not directly across from the opening between the Rechava, the Chatzah slash Rechava, to the Rosh HaRabim. So I mean, you wouldn't be able to walk right through. You'd have to take a turn in order to get out into the Rosh HaRabim. But if you can walk straight through that Mavoi, straight through the Rechava, and go right out into the Rosh HaRabim, then it's going to be Aser. So Amram Mishashia, Hada Amrit, that which Rav Yehuda says, the way Rabbi explained it, that when the Mavoi goes into the middle of a Rechava, that Zeh Shalokin mutter, and if the doorways do not align with each other, it's going to be mutter la amaran ella ruchava de rabim. That's only if the ruchava belongs to many people. Aval ruchava de yachid. But if the ruchava belongs to an individual, then we have to be concerned. Zimnin de mimlachala ubani labatim vahavile kamavishakal litzide ruchava vaaser. That maybe we have to be concerned that if the ruchava belongs to an individual, even though right now, as I walk from the Mavoi into the Rechava, I see it widens on both sides of me. Yeah, but it belongs to an individual, and individuals could decide to change things whenever they want. They're the sole owner, so they could do whatever they want. And therefore, I have to be concerned that maybe even though right now it opens on both sides, the Baal HaRechava may build up until the entrance way to the Mavoi, and tomorrow when I walk out from that Mavoi to the Rechava, it may be straight wall on one side. And then it's going to be a problem, because then it's going to look like a Mavoi Mefu. So I have to be choshesh for that if it's owned by a yachid. Who told you that there's a distinction between a rechava that's owned by the rabbim and a rechava that's owned by a yachid? There was a story of a certain mavoi. There it didn't have walls on two of its sides like most mavois have, but rather one side was open to the yachid. And when it boarded straight on the ocean, and the other side boarded on an ashba, which was 10 tefachim high of piled up stuff. So it turns out that even though it didn't have mamish regular walls, but it had three walls like other mavuos, because one side was closed off like a regular wall, like a regular mavui, you know, opened up in, you know, with chatzeros or whatever, and on the other side was the ashba, which was 10 tefachim high, and on the other side was the yam, which is not 10 tefachim high, but we assume that it was 10 tefachim deep, and that itself functions as a mechitza. So there was only one side that was open into the Rosh Hashanah, just like any other mavoi. So they were misakin with a lechi or a korah, just like a regular mavoi. Uba ma'isel lefnei Rebbe v'lo amar ba lo heter v'lo iser. And they asked the shaila to Rebbe if this is okay, and he wouldn't say anything. He wouldn't say aser, he wouldn't say mutter. Why not? Iser lo amar ba dakai mechitzos. He couldn't say aser. There are three halachic mechitzos and a lechi or a korah on the fourth end, so that's technically mutter. But heter lo amar ba, but he couldn't say mutter either. Chayshinon shematinat alashma v'yala yam sirton, because he's worried that two of those mechitzos can change at any moment. The mechitza that is ashpa, the ashpa may just be removed very easily. And if if it's garbage pickup day and they take away the whole ashpa, so then there goes your mechitza. And when it comes to the yam may start some rocks and pebbles and shells and may start lining up on the yam, and it may no longer have this drop off of ten tefachim into the yam. So you can have that problem, and that might not be a mechitza anymore. So frek the gemara, umi chayshin and shem etinat al ashpa? Is that a chashash that they might take away the ashpa and then the mechitza is going to be gone? Vatanan, but the Mishnah says later on, daf tzadites, ashpa b'Rosh Hashanah gava asar tefachim. If you have an ashpa in a Rosh Hashanah that's 10 tefachim tall and it's 4x4 tefachim wide, so that ashpa becomes a Rosh Hashanah. If it meets the dimensions, 10 tefachim high and 4x4 tefachim wide. So if you have a house that's right near that ashpa, chalon sha'al gaba, and you have a window that's right over the ashpa, zorkam abishabas, you could throw from the window onto the ashpa, because you're in a house that's Rosh Hashanah. The ashpa is a Rosh Hashanah, so you can throw from one Rosh Hashanah to the other. So you can just keep piling it on in the ashpa by chucking stuff out the window. So, bottom line is, Alma Shani, why do we allow that? Maybe tomorrow the ashpa is going to be taken away, or largely taken away, and it's no longer going to have the dimensions of Rosh Hashanah, and this guy's still going to be chucking things out of his window, and then it will turn out that he's throwing things from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hasharabim. Aren't we concerned the ashpa might be taken away? So what do you see? The case in that Mishnah is an ashpa b'Rosh Hasharabim. It's not owned by any individual. Alma Shani ben ashpa d'rabim l'ashpa d'yachid. There's a difference between ashpa d'rabim and ashpa d'yachid. When there's an ashpa d'rabim, no one's going to take it away because there's nobody in charge. An ashpa d'yachid, there's one person who's in charge of everything. It is probably similar to the concept that we had the other day of keber d'beitrei lo chamimi v'lo kariri, that when multiple people are in charge, nobody's in charge, so no one's ever going to do anything. But if you have one person that takes charge of something, so then decisions will be made. Then somebody is going to, may actually make a change. There may actually be movement. So over here also, Shani ben Rechava de Rabim le Rechava de Yachid. Maybe also over here, when you have a Mavi that opens up into a Rechava, so right now the dimensions are fine, and it's going to be considered a Mavi Sasum. But if it's a Rechava de Yachid, that could change at any moment. So that's the basis of this idea, that there's a difference between an individually owned one and a publicly owned rechava, or a rechava owned by many people. V'rabbanan mai, and the rabbanan who disagreed, what was their shita by a mavi that one side opens up to the yam and the other side to the ashpa? Some of it, meaning we said that when they asked the shaila to Rebbe, he didn't want to say a heter v'iser. Sounds like the other rabbanan had some opinion about that, about when one side is an ashpa, one side is a yam, one side is wall. So can you be matir v'lachi of a korah? So Rabban Amai, what was their opinion? So Amar Rav Yosef Rav Dimi Tana the Chamosrin. The Cham said that it's aser, and Amar Rav Nachman Alach Kedivrei Chachamim, that in the parallel case of a mavoi, the mavoi is going to be aser when it opens up into rechava. As well. So Ikada Amri Amrav Yosef Rav Dimi Tanav Chum Matirin. Others say that no, the Chum were Matir to be metaltel in the Mavoi, and we're not choshesh that the Ashpa might be taken away or that the Yam is going to change in its dimensions. So Amrav Nachman Ein Alach Kedivrei Chum. Rav Nachman says we don't paskin like the Chum that are Matir the Mavoi. So it turns out according to both Lashonos, Rav Nachman paskins that the Mavoi is Aser because he's choshesh that those Mechitzos may change at any time. It's just that in one Lashon he's paskening like the Chachamim, in the other Lashon he's paskening against the Chachamim, because the two Lashonos just argue what the Chachamim actually held. But either way, he holds that the Mavu is going to be Aser. So we find this idea that when you have Yam at one side, the Yam itself functions as a mechitza. Probably the way most poskim understand is that this works midin tela mislaket. The halacha is that if you have ground that's uneven, so it goes up and it rises to 10 tefachim high, that can be a mechitza, but only if it's mislaket asara tefachim betoch arba amos. The incline has to be enough that by walking 4 amos of length, you'll already have climbed 10 tefachim of height. Only then is it a mechitza. If it's not, if it doesn't get to 10 tefachim of height within 4 amos, you have to walk 7 amos till you get to 10 tefachim of height, that's just uneven ground. That's not considered a mechitza anymore. So most poskim assume that hu adin when it comes to a yam, this is actually very nogei ala halacha, that hu adin when it comes to a yam, that a yam requires that that you have to go into the ocean and see how steep the drop-off is, that you're going to need a tela mislaket in order for the yam to be considered a mechitza. Without 10 tefachim of height difference within 4 amos, it's not going to be a mechitza. The Beis Meir, however, has a chiddush in the name of the Ma'arit, where he says that no, even though normally for a tela mislaket you need mislaket asara mitoch arba'a tefachim, but nevertheless, by the yam, it's always considered a mechitza, even if the incline is not that great. Why? Because it's based on a Rashi. Rashi, Masechet Shabbos, Daf Kuf Amud Aleph, writes that why is it that the tel needs to be mislaket asara mitoch arba? It's because it's einu noach l'shimush. It's not easy to use, not easy to walk on, and that's why it's considered a mechitza. If it's just slightly uneven ground, people walk on that all the time, that can't be called a mechitza. So he says, when there's water there, when it's the yam, it's not noach l'shamish bo. It's not normal for people to walk there. So mela, that's a mechitza, as long as it dips dips 10 tefachim at some point. It doesn't have to be 10 tefachim within 4 amos. And the Beis Meir brings a raya from a Gemara. The Gemara is going to ask, why is it that the whole world is not a Rishus HaYachid? Because after all, why isn't every continent one giant Rishus HaYachid surrounded by water? Every continent is a big island, so it's surrounded by water. Why isn't it automatically a Rishus HaYachid? So what's the kasha? L'chora, you could just say that it's Galil Yadua L'fnei Borei Olam, that there are places in the Yam where there's 10 amos straight that it's not mislaket asara mitoch arba amos. That there might be somewhere that there's 10 amos along the perimeter of North America where it's not mislaket, where it doesn't have such an incline. And if that's the case, as long as there's 10 amos, it's appeared to Yesem Eser, so mail, it's not going to be a valid mechitz, it's not going to be Rishus HaYachid. Elamai, it doesn't make a difference. You don't need to tell them mislaket asara mitoch arba. That's how the Beis Meir brings a raya, that when it comes to yam, it's an automatic, that you don't need to tell them mislaket asara mitoch arba. So anyway, so that's I was just yesterday, I was at a wedding in the backyard, and it was a beautiful backyard in Teaneck, and there was it was water behind us, and there was like this incline. So someone came over to me and said, "Is that a tela mislaket?" Looked like one. Looked like so probably they don't need any mechitzos around that. Okay, anyway. Now the Gemara is going to talk about two stories about Tikkun Mavuos in the town of Sura. So Sura was in Bavel and had many Mavuos, and one of the way the Mavuos were built was that one end was opened up into Rosh Hashanah and the other end to the Yam. And the Sfas HaYam was 10 Tfachim high. So the Shaila came up, do those Mavuos only need a Lechi or a Korah on one end like any Mavuos that's Eino Mufulash, because there's a Mechitza of the Sfas HaYam at the other end. Or do we say, no, they need some sort of tikkun by the yam side as well. So Mereimar Pasakle the Sura Bu'uzli. Mereimar made mechitzos that were like netting at the end, you know, by the bordered on the yam to divide between the mavuos and the yam. And Omar, he explained himself that even though the Sfas HaYam itself is a mechitza, Cheshin Hashem Yala Yam Sirtan, we're afraid that the mitzius is going to change and it's no longer going to be a valid mechitza, and therefore he had to set up his own makeshift mechitza. So once we mentioned that issue of a mavui in Sura, we talk about another issue of a mavui in Sura. But just to remind ourselves, on Davav, we had a machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, what if you have a bent mavui, a mavui akum, it's shaped like the letter resh, where both of its ends open into Rosh Hashanah. So Rav said it has a din of a mavui mefulash, and therefore you need each end to have a lechi or a korah, but you also need a tzuras ha-pesach at the elbow, where it bends. And Shmuel said, no, it's a Mavoi Sasum. So all you need is a Lechi at each end of the Mavoi. You don't need a Tzuras HaPesach at the elbow of the Mavoi. So says Gemara, Mavoi Akam Dava Besura. In Surah, they had such an L-shaped Mavoi, and its two ends were open into Rosh Hashanah, and one of the legs of that Mavoi wanted to be Matarit Betiltel, so they made a Lechi at their end. The problem is, the guys at the other end didn't make a Lechi at their end. So one of the legs of this L had a Lechi at the end, and the other one did not have a Lechi at the end. So am I not allowed to carry in my end of the Mavoi because that guy didn't take care of his end? So Karuch Budya, what he did is he wrapped up a mat, Hosivu Bebak Mumise, and he placed it as a Lechi at the elbow, where it bends. So he said, I don't care what they do in the other end of the L. In my leg of the L, I have a Lechi on one side, a Lechi on the other side, so I'm good. So I'm Rav Chista, ha, lo karav, velo kishmuel. That's against both Rav and Shmuel. The Rav damar tarasakim foolish tzuras ha-pesach. According to Rav, who said that it has a din of a mavim foolish, you need a tzuras ha-pesach at the elbow. The Shmuel damar tarasakim kisasim, and Shmuel held that it's considered a mavim sasim, hani mili lechi ma'alia. Yes, a lechi is good enough, but it needs to be a real lechi. Aval hai, kibin denashim bezika v'shadilei lo klumu. But over here, what did he do? He just wrapped up a flimsy mat, and a wind is going to blow it away, and then he's not going to have anything. So Shmuel would not be satisfied with that. V'inotz be'six of chabre. But if he takes a nail and he nails it in really well, he attaches that mat really well. Good. So then it's a good lechi, and then you're allowed to be metaltel. Then you'd be allowed to be metaltel at least according to Shmuel. Period. So now, Gufa. Amrabi Yirmiya bar Abba Amarav. Mavoi shenifratz b'milua l'chatzer. If you have a Mavoi that's open into Rosh Hashanah, and at the end of the Mavoi there's a chatzer, and the entire entranceway of the Mavoi is open entirely to a chatzer. So, v'nifratz a chatzer kenegdo, and the chatzer is opened up into Rosh Hashanah directly across from that Mavoi. So, chatzer muteras. The chatzer is you're allowed to be metaltal in the chatzer, and it's not going to be usher based on those pirzos. Why? Because the pirzos to the Rosh Hashanah, it's this chatzer is open on one end to Rosh Hashanah and the other end to a mavoi. Both of those openings, though, are less than 10 amos. And there's wall on both sides of those openings. And like we said before, as long as it's less than 10 amos, meets those two qualifications, less than 10 amos, and has wall on either side of those openings, those are a Pesach. And therefore, it's not a Pirtza. So they're not going to aser that Chatzer. So, and the fact that the Bnei Mavoi, have access, that's not going to aser, because like every Chatzer that opens to a Mavoi, because the Bnei Mavoi don't have Drisas HaRegel in that Chatzer. But The Mavoi is also betiltul because the Bnei Chatzer Aserit calls man that they don't make an Eruv between the Chatzer and the Mavoi because as from the Mavoi's perspective, it's Paritz B'miluo to the Chatzer, so it needs to make an Eruv together with the Chatzer. Samalei Rabba Barula L'Rabbi Bibi Barabaye Rabbi Lo Mishnah Seini Lizu. What's your Chiddush? Aren't you just saying exactly what it says in the Mishnah? The Mishnah we're going to have later on Daf Tzadi Bezom and Aleph Chatzer Ketana Shenifritza L'Gadola. If you have two Chatzeros that border on each other, one of them is narrower than the other, and therefore, from the perspective of the narrower one, there are mechitzos on either side of the opening. From the perspective there are no mechitzos. From the perspective of the wider one, there are mechitzos on either side of the opening. Gedola muteres uketana asura. The one that's larger is mutter because the larger one sees mechitzos on both sides of that pirza, whereas the ketana is going to be asur mipnei sheikh pischa shel gedola because since there's no wall between from the smaller chatzer's perspective, there's no wall separating it from the larger chatzer. It's considered nifratz b'milua to the larger chatzer, and it's like the reshus of the bnei ha-gedola. So it's like a pesach of the chatzer ha-gedola that is therefore nigra rachara, therefore follows its rule. So it requires an eruv with the gedola, and if it didn't make an eruv, it's also betiltel. So don't you see from there what Rav said, that the same should apply by a mavoi that opens up into a chatzer? where from the Mavi's perspective, it's Bimilua, and from the Chatzar's perspective, there's Mechitza. What's Rav being Mechadish? So three possibilities. So Amalei Ravi Barabai explains to Rav Barula, Rav is telling us a Chiddush that we would not have learned from the Mishnah. Because even by a Chatzar that's open on both sides, to Rosh Hashanah and to a Mavoi, it's still going to be Mutter. Meaning, Imei Hasam, from that Mishnah, Ava Amina Hani Mili, Heicha Delo Kadarsi Barabim. Yeah, that's where you have a small Chatzar bordering on a larger Chatzar, but there aren't Rabim that trample through that chatzer, because there's only this one pirza directly to the other chatzer. But in the case of Rav, on one end it's open to Rosh Hashanah Rabim, on the other end it's open into the chatzer. So now it's Darsi Barabim. So people will walk right through it. I'm sorry, one end's open to Rosh Hashanah, the other end's open to a mavoi. So people will walk right through. Same afilu chatzer nami. So I would think that even the chatzer also should be asked to carry in. So says Mar, no, that can't be the chiddush because one. That's a, the Mishnah tells us that as well. It's a Mishnah Maseches Taros. Chatzar sharam nechnasan la bezuv yotzan la bezuv. You have a chatzar that many people are able to walk right through it because it's open at both ends. So Rosh Hashanah l'tuma. That's a Rosh Hashanah as far as Hilchos Tuma is concerned. Well, who cares whether something's Rosh Hashanah when as far as Tuma is concerned? Because we learned from Masota that Safik Tuma Rosh Hashanah is tahar. Safik Tuma Rosh Hashanah is tamei. So you always need to identify something as a Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Hashanah as far as its halachos of Tuma. But the Gedarim of what's a Rosh Hashanah for Tuma are not at all the same Gedarim as far as what's a Rosh Hashanah for Shabbos. When it comes to Shabbos, you may need Shishim Rebo. You certainly don't need that for Tuma. So this is considered enough of a Rosh Hashanah for Tuma. But Rosh Hashanah for the Shabbos, it's considered Rosh Hashanah as far as Shabbos is concerned because it has Mechitzos all around it. Even though there are openings in these Mechitzos and Rabbi Mahal Chimba, a lot of people walk through it. So it turns out that from this Mishnah, that the Drisa Sarabim in a Chatzer is not Mevatel, the Mechitzos of a Chatzer. So what's the Chiddush of Rav? We're back to the question. What is Rav teaching me that I don't already know? So answer Gemara, a second possibility. That really Rav is telling us a Chiddush that we would not have derived from the Mishnah. That even when the Pirtzos of the Chatzer are to the Mavoi and to Rosh Sarabim, and they're directly across from each other, which means you can walk straight from the Mavoi and never turn and walk straight through the chatzar and land that straight out into the Rosh Hashanah, it's still going to be mutter. Imei Haslam, if I only had the Mishnayos, Hava Amina Ani Mili Zeh Shalok Keneged Zeh, I would have thought that's only if the openings are not directly across from each other. Aval Zeh Keneged Zeh, but when the openings are directly across from each other, Eimalo, I might think that it does not have a din of Rosh Hashanah as far as Shabbos is concerned. So that's why Rav has tell me that yes, it still has a din of Rosh Hashanah as far as Shabbos is concerned. So says Mar Ula Rab. But what about according to Rabbah who said that Namad Aleph that by Mavi Mufulash that goes through Rechava when there are doors on both sides of the Rechava, one to the Rosh Hashanah, one to the Mavoi, that Zeh Keneged Zeh Aser, that if it's Zeh Keneged Zeh, then Ataka is Aser, then Had Rav B'may Mukila, then what's the case of Rav? I mean, Rav can't be telling me it's a case of Zeh Keneged Zeh, because according to Rabbah that would be Aser. So B'zeh Shalok Keneged Rav must be talking about a case of Shalok and Egedzeh. And that brings us back to our question then. Tarti Lamali. Why does Rav have to tell me that which it already says in the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, here's the third possibility of what the Chiddush of Rav is. Imei Hasam, if I would not have known Rav and I only would have had the Mishnayos, Hava Mina Hani Mili Lizrok. I would say, yeah, the Chatzar is considered Rosh Hashanah. If I'm standing in Rosh Hashanah and I want to throw something into the Chatzar, so it's a Rosh Hashanah. Meaning, Midol Raisa, it's a Rosh Hashanah. So it's going to be awesome for me to throw something from Rosh Hashanah into the Chatzar. But let's say I just want to carry something within the Chatzar. Am I even going to be Mekil that it has a din of Rosh Hashanah? Or am I going to say, you know what, this needs an Eruv of some sort. This needs some sort of Tikkun Midrabanan. I would have thought at least Midrabanan, it shouldn't have a status of a full-fledged Rosh Hashanah. So Kamash Milan, that's why Rav has to tell me that the Chatzar is Mutter, even on a Dirabanan level. Period. So now, Itmar Mavoi also kin nadal. You have a Mavoi that's made like a centipede, meaning you have a Mavoi that has a whole bunch of smaller alleyways that go off of the Mavoi out into the Rosh Hashanah. So you have the larger Mavoi, let's say an L-shaped Mavoi, but it's not just an L, it's an F. And an F with a lot of legs, right? Meaning that it doesn't just end at the top, but there are a lot of alleyways that go out into the Rosh Hashanah. So how can you be misakein such a mavoi to be able to carry in the mavi. So Amar Abaye, also tzuras haPesach legadol. You make a tzuras haPesach for the larger mavi and the side where it opens up into the rishus rabim. Vahanach kulu, and all of the legs of the mavi are mishtru belechi v'kora. Meaning you put a lechi or a kora by the top of the effin, by the second leg of the effin, if there are more legs, by each of those. But as far as the major, you know, the bottom of the F, where it really opens into Rosh Hashanah, that's where you need a Tzuras HaPesach. Some of the Rav says, Rabbi, wait a second. We just had a machlokas about a Mavoi Akum between Rav and Shmuel. If you have an L-shaped Mavoi, that's open to Rosh Hashanah. And Rav said it out of din of Mefulash. And you need a Lechi Ukara on both ends and a Tzuras HaPesach at the bend. And according to Shmuel, it out of din of a Mavoi Sasum, and you don't need any Tzuras HaPesach. All you need is a Lechi Ukara. So come on. Who would ever say that one side needs a Tzuras HaPesach, the bend needs nothing, and the other ends need a Lechi or a Korah? That fits nobody. Rav requires a Tzuras HaPesach by the bend, and Shmuel doesn't require a Tzuras HaPesach at all. He only requires a Lechi or a Korah wherever it opens up. So Kishmuel, the Amar, Tarasa Kisasim, we pass them like Shmuel, that says that the din has a din of a Mavi Sasim, and all it needs is a Lechi or a Korah. Well, then Lamele Tzuras HaPesach. Then why would you need a Tzuras HaPesach at one end? Va'od ha'u mavayakum David ben Arda. Furthermore, there was a mavayakum in Arda and chashalol adrav. And even if you want to say you're passing like Shmuel, Shmuel himself was choshish for Rav. They need a Tzuras HaPesach at the bend. So how can you say, oh, it must be that we're passing like Shmuel, that all you need to be mesakein is where it actually opens to the Rosh Hashanah and not at the bend, not in the middle? That doesn't work because first of all, Shmuel doesn't require a Tzuras HaPesach at any of the ends. He only requires a Lechi or a Korah. And second of all, even Shmuel himself was Koshish for Shitas Rav. Ella Amarava also Tzuras HaPesach Kulu Lahai Gisa Vidach Gisa Mishru B'Lechi V'Korah. Now, what you do is you make a Tzuras HaPesach for every one of the smaller Mavuos in the place where it's connected to the Mavoi HaGadol, meaning every bend. Meaning we view it like a lot of different L-shaped Mavuos, and every bend requires Tzuras HaPesach, like Rav said, and then a Lechi or a Korah where it opens up into the Rishus HaRabim. Okay, I'm Rav Kana Bar Techliv, Mishmed Rav Kana Bar Menyume, Mishmed Rav Kana Bar Malkio, Mishmed Rav Kahana Rabbe Derav. That's the Bach in his Hagos changes it, that it's Rav Kana Rabba, that it's not Rav Kana Rabbe Derav, but he's Rav Kahana Rabba, meaning the great Rav Kahana. And that's it seems that it has to be that way because in the Igros Rav Shira Gaon, he writes that Rav was both a Tana and an Amora, but Rav Kahana was purely, even the first Rav Kahana was purely an Amora. So it doesn't make sense that Rav Kahana would be Rabbe de Rav. So okay, so somebody said, Va'armi la Rav Kahana bar Malkio, Hainu Rav Kahana Rabbe de Rav, Mavoi shetzido echad aruch, v'tzido echad katzer. Katzer, what if you have a Mavoi that one wall of the Mavoi juts out further into the Rosh Hashanah than the other wall of the Mavoi? So it doesn't just, both sides of the Mavoi don't end at the same spot. One juts out much further. So if the difference between the two wall ends of the Mavoi is less than a 4 amma difference, you can run a korah along diagonally. But if it's more than a 4 amma difference, then you have to run the Mavoi directly straight across, only where the shorter wall ends. So you don't get to be matir anything beyond where the shorter wall ends. Rav says, I don't care how big the discrepancy is, you always have to run the beam directly across. And Rav says, I'll explain my logic and I'll explain the other logic. He says, the reason I always require that the beam runs straight across is that it's meant to be a hecker, and if it's on an angle, it's not going to be a hecker, because part of the mavoi that goes beyond the narrower wall doesn't appear like part of the mavoi, and someone who sees the b'nei mavoi using that area that goes beyond the normal wall, it's not going to be a hecker. They're going to think that they can carry in the Rosh Hashanah also. And I'll explain the reason for those who disagree with me. Korah mishamayim mishamechitza, that a korah works as a mechitza. Well, balachsa nami have a mechitza. Something that's on an angle can also be a mechitza. A mechitza doesn't have to be a straight line. A mechitza could be on an angle as well. And that's why they hold, as long as it's not more than 4 amos apart, they could do it. Amar Rav Kahana, Ushmaitza Tekanihi. So a later Rav Kahana from a later generation said, ooh, this looks like something Rav Kahana's get involved in. So let me say something about this. Sayma Bamilsa. Hada Amrit Maniach HaKorah Ba'alachsal. That which we say that you can put the Korah on an angle, Lo Amaran El Shein Ba'alachsono Yesem Yeser. That's only if when you run the Korah across, it's not going to have to be more than 10 Amos. Aval Yesh Ba'alachsono Yesem Yeser. But if the angle is made in such a way, we're running the Korah across, it's going to be more than 10 Amos. Then everyone would have to say, you just have to run the Korah across the narrower end, and you're not allowed to do it across 10 Amos. Ibayilu, Malush Tamish Tachas HaKorah, can use the area directly underneath a Korah. Rav Rabbi Chiyah, Rabbi Yochanan Amru, Mutu Lushamish Tachas HaKorah. Shmuel, Rabbi Shim Barabi, Rabbi Shim Malakash Amru, also Lushamish Tachas HaKorah. So Machlokas among Gedolei Amoraim. What's the Nekudas HaMachlokas? Three possibilities. Lema Bahakum Ifugi, the Mar Savar Korah Mishum Heker. It must be that those who say that you're allowed to use the area underneath the Korah hold that it's a heker to be mavdil between the Mavoi and the Rosh Hasharabim, so that people don't come to carry Rosh Hasharabim, and that works even underneath the Korah. Umar Sava Korah Mishum Mechitza. And the other one says, no, the Korah is a Mechitza, and the inner surface of the Korah is the Mechitza. So once you're under the Korah, you're on the wrong side of the Mechitza. Says Mar Lo, a second possibility. Dukuli Alma Mishum Heker. Everyone holds the Korah as a heker. The one that says you're not allowed to use the area underneath the Korah holds that the heker has to be klape the people on the inside of the mavoi. Umar Sava, whereas those who say you're allowed to use under the Korah, hekera milavar, the heker is necessary for the B'nai Rosh Hasharabim, that they shouldn't make the mistake that they're allowed to be metaltal in it, just like they're allowed to be metaltal in the mavoi, that they should be allowed to be metaltal in Rosh Hasharabim as well. So for them, the heker's on the outer surface of the Korah. V'ibay Yisema, a third possibility. Dukuli Alma Mishum Mechitza. Everyone holds that the Korah over the entranceway of the Mavoi is a Mechitza. But where's the Mechitza? V'achabakim Mifgi, Dvar Savar Chuda Pnimi Yorid V'sosem, Umar Savar Chuda Chitzon Yorid V'sosem. The one that says you're not allowed to use the area underneath the Korah holds that the inner surface of the Korah is the Mechitza, and therefore if you're under the Korah, you're on the wrong side. Whereas the Shita that says you're allowed to use the area under the Korah holds the outer surface of the Korah is the Mechitza. So it turns out that the Amoraim argue about using the area underneath the Korah, but it's from that machlokas we can't necessarily say for sure whether Korah is Mishum Mechitza or Korah is Mishum Heker, right? Because one version of this was Kuli Alma Korah Mishum Heker, and the other version was Kuli Alma Korah Mishum Mechitza, and the other version was that's what they're arguing about, whether it's Mishum Heker or Mechitza. So Amrav Chisa, Kol Modim, Bebein Lechayayim Sha'asr. All the Amoraim that disagree whether you're allowed to use the area under a Korah would agree that a Mavoi that you use a Lechi to be Mesakin and not a Korah, you're certainly not allowed to use across from the Lechi, because there's no shear for the size of a Lechi. It could even be a Mashu, so we have to be Choshesh if we allow you to use the area directly across from the Lechi, you'll use the area outside of the Lechi as well, because the Lechi could be very, very tiny. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up four lines from the bottom tomorrow with Bo'im Mineh.